You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's happening? And welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Tuesday, July the 2nd. And Tim Frazier joins the Pistons along with some latest rumors. This is your boy Matt Shook, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering the NBA for the Detroit News and Associated Press, Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for the listen. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast this offseason. Today we're going to give the latest update on the news around the league, including some in-depth talk about Tim Frazier, the Pistons' newest point guard. And later on we'll hit the voicemail line and check out what you guys are saying about Derrick Rose and the Pistons' offseason so far. Tomorrow we'll have some more Derrick Rose talk with Matt Peck of Locked On Bulls. I've already got that locked and loaded, ready to go for Wednesday's show. But give me a follow on Twitter, by the way, at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that, and also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook. And for the latest takes on NBA free agency, follow all of the Locked On Podcast Network hosts on one Twitter feed, at Locked On NBA Net, an awesome way to get all the latest opinions from all the experts during NBA free agency. Again, that's Locked On NBA Net. Really, comparatively speaking to Sunday night, kind of quiet on the free agency front on Monday and so far early on Tuesday as well. Again, relatively speaking there. But the Pistons did sign Tim Frazier, point guard from the Milwaukee Bucks, on a minimum contract in free agency 1 year. He's been around the league a little bit there. We're going to talk about him in the second segment a little bit on. But around the league, the Jimmy Butler trade was officially a four-team deal. Jimmy Butler moved to Miami. Josh Richardson moved up to Philly as well in a four-way deal. Kevon Looney back to the Warriors at 3 years and 15. Thought that maybe he'd get a little bit more money than that after his courageous performance in the postseason, playing through some pain for Golden State there, and the Warriors lock him up. Ennis Kanter to the Celtics, 2 years, $10 million, is a deal that's a little bit relevant to the Pistons as they're still looking for a backup center. And speaking a lot about that, Rashawn Holmes, 2 years, $10 million as well. He goes to Sacramento. That's a name. Those are kind of names that would have been, really nice players that could have come in at the biennial exception, but obviously that 2 years, $10 million, five a year for both of those guys, a little bit out of the Pistons' price range. Pistons can offer 2 years, about $7.2 or $3 million there if they use the full biennial exception on backup center, which appears to be their biggest need, and by the BAE is obviously their biggest poker chip right now that they can offer to free agents that are out there. Also relevant to Pistons land, former Pistons shooting guard Wayne Ellington, who played a half a season in the playoffs with Detroit after getting bought out by the Phoenix Suns after getting traded from the Miami Heat. He lands with the New York Knicks, as Reggie Bullock also did. They'll be fighting for minutes in Gotham. Both of them got 2 years there. Isaiah Thomas to the Wizards on a one-year deal. Obviously a guy that's been brought up by every team in the NBA as a wild card possibility to bring in off the bench and provide some instant scoring. But with Washington and how bad that roster is right now, Bradley Beal notwithstanding, he might be competing with starter minutes, and he'll be competing with Ish Smith, the former beloved Pistons point guard who signed a two-year deal at $12 million the other day. So he's right at that same salary point that he was at with the Pistons for the past 3 years, too. And, we wanted to say a couple words about Ish. First off, he had an Instagram post about Detroit after signing with the Washington Wizards, or after agreeing to sign with the Washington Wizards. Those signings won't officially happen until July 6th. But Ish said on Instagram, "Detroit has been more than a team for me. It has been a family. I appreciate the welcoming arms of the fans and support and encouragement from the coaching staff. I will miss the strength and boldness of the city and, most importantly, my teammates." Hashtag Detroit strong and a hashtag flexing arm emoji as well. So, yeah, I mean, nothing bad you can possibly say about Ish Smith. A fan favorite, a spark plug off the bench, and as we kind of talked about, Derrick Rose is in a little ways a lot like Ish Smith in terms of the role he's going to play. Instant offense, short of getting a good group of second unit players of a solid five man core that can go out there and play effectively as a facsimile of the starting lineup. Getting guys like Ish Smith, getting guys like Derrick Rose is probably the best you can do for a team that has limitations roster-wise. So, you know, just guys that can go get buckets, and I think Derrick Rose is a little bit better version of that. But Ish Smith was the guy that you love to root for, was the guy that when he had those good fourth quarters and stayed in instead of Reggie Jackson down the stretch, it was, you knew that he had played well and earned it. And over these 3 years that he had in Detroit, a consummate pro, a guy who can have a future in coaching if he'd like, a future certainly in the media if he'd like. He can be one of those guys. So we haven't heard the last of Ish Smith. I believe this is like team number 12 for him in Washington. Been all over the league, and Detroit was his longest stay in the NBA for 3 years. And, you know, it was a big contract that he got, 3 years, $18 million from Stan Van Gundy, but not the drastic overpay that guys like John Luehr and maybe Langston Galloway got along the way. But Ish Smith, an important part of this team, nice veteran presence, and we wish him luck in Washington. Look forward to giving him the standing O when he returns to Little Caesars Arena sometime this season. I don't know, is he tribute video worthy? Is Ish Smith tribute video worthy? I know that's a great sports radio topic, and maybe we'll get your feedback on that. Go ahead and call the Google voice line, 810-666-1546. Let us know, is Ish Smith video tribute worthy? It's one of those dumb questions where it's like, I mean, I guess it doesn't matter. I'm not offended if a guy who's a little bit of a bit player, a little bit of a role player gets a tribute video. I don't really understand why it's worth getting upset about if someone gets maybe a little bit more credit and a little bit more due than they maybe should deserve. But no, I don't think we're going to be putting Ish Smith's number up in the rafters, though. But around the league, everyone's still waiting for Kawhi Leonard to make his decision. You just have a feeling that out of Toronto, the Clippers, and the Lakers, the two teams that he does not decide to go to are going to be a little bit left in the rain out here. And maybe there's a little bit of strategic vision there, especially one of the LA teams. If he goes to one of the LA teams, it's going to pretty much screw over the other LA team in terms of how they're going to scramble to fill out the roster the rest of the summer. So maybe there's a little bit of gamesmanship there with Kawhi Leonard. But trying to get yourself into Kawhi Leonard's head is kind of a futile task at best at this point. But as far as the Pistons go, we know they had a Sunday meeting with Jared Dudley, who's still out there. They also had a Monday meeting, Monday night, reportedly with Flint's JaVale McGee. Those guys are kind of on the top, or near the top of the remaining free agent lists for guys that we can consider bigs. You know, Jared Dudley, of course, more of a small small/power forward, and JaVale McGee being a backup center candidate there. For centers, you still got DeMarcus Cousins, Willie Cauley-Stein, those guys figure to be out of the Pistons' price range, of course. A couple of restricted names in Zubac and Kem Birch. Boban's still out there. Kyle O'Quinn still out there. Robin Lopez rumored to be heading to Milwaukee. But Tyson Chandler still out there. Daniel Tice restricted out of Boston. Joakim Noah. And then Pau Gasol, who reportedly yesterday said he's looking forward to coming back for his age 39 season after a foot injury. I believe he broke his foot. Nene's still out there. Kosta Koufos is still out there. Amir Johnson. And, of course, Zaza Pachulia still out there. Greg Monroe, Eric Moreland. Are you interested in reunions with some of these guys? So one of these guys that I just mentioned will probably end up with the Pistons sometime in these next couple days, and we expect news to probably be coming really at any time here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But up next, we're going to talk more about Tim Frazier and size up what he brings to the Pistons bench. That's next year on the Locked On Pistons podcast.
Yes, sir!
A little bit later on, we will hit the Google voicemail line and hear what the fans are saying about Derrick Rose and the Pistons this offseason. But when you are driving to work or from work or around town, all you have to do is tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Pistons, and we will be right there for your drive in the morning or the afternoon, whenever the podcast gets up and whenever you got some time to throw us on for 20 or 30 minutes to talk Detroit Pistons as we continue this offseason. Reminder that Summer League starts for the Pistons on Friday. It's already going in Utah and Sacramento if you're an NBA junkie and you want to check out those games. But yeah, Pistons basketball coming 3 o'clock Eastern on Friday against the Croatian national team. We still haven't seen the roster from the Pistons for Summer League yet. I suspect that that's going to be coming into my email any second now. At this point, we got a pretty good idea of who's coming in with the second-year players, the rookies, and then some of the undrafted players that have been added to the Pistons summer league roster, but there's still some spots for some centers and power forwards. So the team needs it at the regular roster level and also at the summer league roster level. So just not a lot of bigs when you get below the obvious ones, the Andre Drummonds, the Blake Griffins, and the Thon Makers. But after that, just not that much right now from the Detroit Pistons. So we suspect that maybe a signing in free agency for the real roster, and then maybe a couple bodies brought in for the summer league roster. As I reported, Johnny Hamilton not coming to summer league with the Detroit Pistons. He's gonna instead go with the Milwaukee Bucks. That's my news that I broke the other day. So I'm excited about that. But anyway, speaking of the Bucks, Tim Frazier is the newest Piston. He was with the Bucks for the last 15 games or so of the regular season last year, and also for the playoff run to the Eastern Conference Finals. He is joining the Detroit Pistons on a one-year minimum salary contract. Tim Frazier is 28 years old. He's from Houston. He went to Penn State, so Big Ten fans will remember that. And he's hung around the league some. It's admirable for guys like that who kind of come in as players who I believe he was undrafted. I'm going to double-check that right now as we speak. Tim Frazier, yeah, looks like an undrafted player. Made his NBA debut in 2015. 6'1", 170 pounds, so a little bit bigger than Ish Smith, but certainly not a guy whose size is going to be an asset for him. A little bit undersized there in today's NBA. Came in with the Boston Celtics, but did not ever play for them, but did play for the Philadelphia 76ers, Portland, New Orleans, Washington, New Orleans last year again, and like I said, ended the season with the Milwaukee Bucks last year. Against the Pistons, he has had 5 career games where he's averaged 5 points, 2 rebounds, and 4 assists. That was his average for basically all of 2018-2019, and then basically his career average as well. So, you know, numbers that don't really stand out in any meaningful way, but 5 points per game, 2 rebounds per game, 4 assists. So, it seems like a serviceable guy who manages the offense, isn't really a difference maker defensively. A guy who hasn't really broken into the NBA in any kind of meaningful way in terms of rotation minutes or anything like that. I saw one season that he had with the New Orleans Pelicans where he was with them for 16 games in 2015-16 where he played almost 30 minutes a game and averaged 13 points per game for them. So that would be kind of the high watermark of his career. But a guy who's basically been playing around that 20 minutes per game mark, and then not playing every game or anything like that, but was a starter at times. He started 70 games in his career out of 245 appearances that he has made. The three-point numbers have been really up and down almost every season, and keep in mind these are all small sample sizes that we're talking about as he bounces around from year to year, and also some low minutes. So it's kind of more instructive to go with the career numbers for him as he's compiled a big enough sample size as far as his body of work since joining the NBA in 2015. So 33%, so basically 32.9% from three. So, fairly significantly below league average from three-point land, which is not a good thing, but just a professional point guard. That's the kind of guys you get for a minimum contract for the veterans there. Runs the show. He's reliable. And he's 28. He's not 38. So it's just nice to have someone who's not Jameer Nelson or Jose Calderon at third-string point guard kind of running the show there. So, again, Frazier, the third-string point guard. He's waivable if they think they have something there in Jordan Bone that needs minutes. I don't suspect that happens, especially in the first half of his rookie season. But also playable. Waivable and playable is the way I see Tim Frazier. You can put him in as backup point guard if someone goes down, which with Derrick Rose and Reggie Jackson as the tops in the depth chart there, Reggie first and Derrick Rose second for now anyways. You wanted a guy who could be insertable and could play 20 minutes a game, could be your backup point guard if you need it, especially during stretches of the season. So to me, a good option. Not someone who's going to move the needle in any kind of meaningful way for this franchise, of course, but someone who's reliable and someone who can maybe grow in some ways as a member of the Pistons as he's kind of in his prime and hitting the apex of what his career might look like here in the NBA. He played every game of the Pistons' annihilation in the first round at the hands of the Bucks And I'll be honest, and I'm not trying to blow smoke for you guys here, but when he came in for garbage time, whenever the Bucks were killing Detroit, I was kind of impressed in the couple of minutes that he played, the way he was able to manage the offense. He scored 7 points in game one of the playoffs. He knocked down a three for the Bucks against the Pistons there. And I can remember thinking vividly that, man, the Bucks have guys like Tim Frazier and Tony Snell at almost the very end of the bench who are better than some of the Pistons' second unit type of guys. And now the Pistons have those guys. So it's an upgrade on talent across the board for the Pistons. That's a positive thing, but obviously we know the negative. We know that this Pistons team needed severe upgrades in talent across the board, especially in depth-wise, and I think that's what they've kind of done with guys like Tony Snell and guys like Tim Frazier, and more to come. We'll see what that center's market looks like. I'm kind of waiting on Woj bombs and Sham bombs to see what these the end of the roster will continue to look like as time goes on. You know, Jared Dudley and JaVale McGee. I think JaVale McGee would be a great addition to this team. That's the guy that I would love to see the Pistons bring in as that backup center, and nice to be bring that home state guy from Flint back home as well. So we will see how that all shakes down here in these next few days, and also the Summer League roster. We're still waiting on that as well. But coming up, we're going to go to the Google voicemail line and hear what you guys have to say. That's next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day.
Hey, Matt, this is Breeshin out in Philly, actually vacationing in Michigan now, my hometown of Kalamazoo. I'll be in the D this weekend. But anyway, Derrick Rose, I'm sure you're getting a lot of calls about this, but I feel this is a classic Pistons move in terms of, you can pick the SVG era, the Dumars era, going on the washed out, might have a chance, might make a reclamation superstar. Antonio McDyess is a great example. Sheed was kind of this. Ben Gordon is another example of one that didn't pan out, you know, but this is what the Pistons do as a franchise. And so when I thought about this, I'm like, yep, that's what we do. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Hey, maybe Derrick Rose, you know, has a resurgence, usurps Reggie for starting, and it's a really good team. So that part is all cool. As far as the non-basketball stuff, I had forgot all about the sexual assault case. So I went back and read the full legal document. You can edit this out if you want, but man, it looks ugly. And so, no, I'm not a fan. I draw a hard line. I don't like how guys on Twitter start to defend these men who make these choices. I'm not a fan. No. No. I mean, I'll root for the team, but no, I got to draw the line somewhere. So I don't like that at all. So hope the team does well, but no, I can't root for that guy.
Thanks, Breeshin, for the call. Obviously a tough question there. But yeah, I mean, I would throw Allen Iverson, I would throw Tracy McGrady into that group of players that were former superstars that have brought into the Pistons late in their career, and we'll see how that all kind of pans out. And as far as the off-the-court stuff, yeah, it's going to be kind of a individual case-by-case basis as far as the fans. And sure, it's one of those things that's probably going to get talked about a lot more in the offseason when there's not a lot of time to talk about it. And, yeah, I'm going to kind of keep hands off because, again, I got my own opinion. Breeshin shared his opinion there, and I'm sure you've got your own opinion. So it's a personal thing, and, yeah, it's tough. It's one of those things that, unfortunately, we have to grapple with as sports fans. And I know that, you know, just that comment, that sentence I just said right there could be construed as, oh, no, you've got to deal with this, and what about the woman involved? And I know that we could go on and on about this. But this is not one of those shows, as you know, so we'll kind of sadly and you know, conveniently for our sake, fortunately, that we can kind of move on and talk about other things. So here's the next call coming from Andy from Ann Arbor.
Hey, Matt. This is Andy from Ann Arbor calling. In listening to the various podcasts you've had leading up to free agency, I couldn't help but notice that you mentioned Svi Mykhailiuk a lot. The other Pistons podcast that I listen to don't mention him at all. And I was just curious as to what it is that you've seen from him that makes you think he's even worth giving a look to, because from everyone else, I imagine that the lack of discussion around Svi is that he's basically a non-factor and should not counter any of the Pistons' plans at all. Anyway, that's just a question that I had, plus a little cameo appearance from my baby daughter, so there's that. Have a great day.
Thanks again to Andy from Ann Arbor for the call, and hello to the youngest Locked On Pistons listener out there, your baby daughter. Congratulations to you. And Svia Mykhailiuk, it's a great question. You know, this is based on a little bit of intel from other media circles. First off, Svia Mykhailiuk as a rookie last year made the second team summer league all second team, so which is something that I didn't even know existed until I read that the other day, and that tells you about the success of the and lack of success that maybe the Pistons have had in summer league these last couple years. But I think it's going to be someone that I have my eye on. I have high hopes for him at summer league this year, and I think he will be a factor. I think that when we talked about this, one of the topics that maybe we'll talk about this summer as we're looking for things is Bruce Brown, Kyrie Thomas, and Svia Mykhailiuk. Who's the one that you think is going to have the best NBA career out of those guys? Now, obviously, Bruce Brown comes in as a starter, gets good minutes, and we're all impressed with a lot of the things he does defensively, and we're all very aware of the things that he doesn't do right now offensively. And then Kyrie Thomas has that two-way ability, but I really believe in Svia Mykhailiuk, and I might put him at the top of that list, like you kind of mentioned in your question, Andy. And from a lot of the pregame workouts that we saw with those guys all working together, kind of going in three-on-three situations on the Little Caesars Arena floor, saw a lot of good things from Svi. Love the shooting form. Love the toughness. He's not, you know, one of these guys who's afraid. He's a European player who comes over and knocked down shots at Kansas, you know, one of the best college programs of all time, obviously. So, yeah, I'm excited about Svia Mykhailiuk. I think that he can be an impact player in this league off the bench. And I'm excited to see what he brings, and I'm excited for him to get a chance this year. And again, from talking to other media members who cover the league day in and day out, I think that he's a guy who the Pistons really like, and I think he's a guy that's shown in kind of behind the scenes, closed door situations that he's a guy who's going to be who's going to be impactful. And I think we could see it as early as this year for the Detroit Pistons. And like I said, I know that the organization really likes him and views him as an asset. So more to be seen on Svia Mykhailiuk going forward. But thanks, guys, for the calls. And thanks to all you guys for listening. We'll be back with Matt Peck of Locked On Bulls talking Derrick Rose, how we should feel about Derrick Rose here with the Detroit Pistons, and, you know, more free agency stuff. We'll see if some more Pistons join this team here in these next few days as free agency continues. Have a good one, everyone. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow.